Talking Rugby, Telling Stories, Rugby Picker. Welcome to Rugby Pick'em. Who cares? Who knows? Why bother?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Rugby Morning's own son, father, founder. It's John Fitzpatrick.
There it is. Here we go.
How are you, John?
Doing well, man. How have you been?
I have had my feet up on the couch just soaking in the CRCs. It's like my new March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think there's a better all-day Friday viewing event than the CRCs. Tons of games. We're going to roll through just about all of it. Yeah, let's break down, ideally, you know, the greatest collegiate rugby tournament right now in the country. In the Premier, it was Wheeling that took it all. I have a little write-up on all four of the final four teams, but, you know, right off the bat, I got to ask you, do you think it's fair to have a team that has more internationals than Americans? What should be the line here? Because there's a couple different teams with different styles, and Wheeling, who ended up bringing it home, they got 10 internationals. I mean, that's quite a broad team, if you will.
They've got quite the pipeline there, don't they?
Yeah. I think collectively they had 10 South Africans and Zimbabweans, but they were unbelievable. There were some guys, Aaron Juma and Joe Aye, who not only led the Great Lakes team to the NCR All-Star team win back in January, but these guys were dominant all weekend for Wheeling. They really didn't struggle in any games. They ended up putting quite the beat down on Kutztown in the final, but the Wheeling Cardinals, they are the champions, and this is quite a side here. Are they in West Virginia?
Well, that's what's so wild about all of this is that how does Wheeling University get so dominant in sevens?
It's one of those things where you need a good coach. You need a coach who's going to have the university supporting. And then I think you just got to, you know, play the game that we've seen the football coaches play forever. You go on the campus visits, you cook the mom a homemade meal, and you try and get those letters of commitment.
Yeah, and you know what? You talk about this Wheeling roster. I'm looking up and down at, you know, the big names you mentioned. It's still a young squad. I'm looking at freshmen. I'm looking at sophomores. I mean, they can stack this for a couple of years here.
Yeah. It potentially a dynasty. But the team that they beat, the Kutztown Bears, we've heard that. If you follow college rugby in the U.S., you know it's a legit program, but you know, I think the interesting storyline here was last year's tournament MVP, Mount St. Mary's, Chris Cleland. I guess the hot term is the transfer portal. I don't know how he ended up at Kutztown, but
what kind of NIL money was he getting?
I know. I mean, it's just wild to think that a player can dominate like he did last year for, you know, a pretty what was considered Cinderella story. But this year, transfers into a bigger program. They had a big Georgian, Katishvili, who was taking some hard yards. But, man, Chris Cleland is only 5'7", 155. And yet, the shiftiness all day, the kids just got it.
That's what I love so much about sevens. This man, one cut, one missed tackle, and the kids going to the house. I mean, And you've got stories. I mean, so many storylines to talk about, right? From Maryland to Babson, you know, to I think what we saw, particularly right last year's CRCs. I mean, the weather did not do them any justice. This year was certainly much better. It was that Friday. It was cooler, not rainy, but like comfortable, good for running rugby. A little bit of wetness today. Apparently, going to be like 90 degrees tomorrow in the DC area. But you couldn't have asked for a better tournament. 144 teams rolling out, cascading brackets, you know, men's over 2 days, women over 2 days, phenomenal.
Yeah, I give Pat Clifton credit. He's done a really good thing here, kind of leading this CRC competitions committee. The ability to just organize something at this scale. I was lucky enough last year to go. Colorado School of Mines men's had qualified, and we'll get to the small college towards the end. But just in general, I think it should be at stadiums like this with a bunch of different satellite fields. They had at least four streams going, right? So if you're a parent and you're chipping in to see little Johnny go off and play, you know, it's like you feel like you're connected to the game. Like I said, I just lounged all weekend. I probably watched 20 games of sevens. And it's just it's a good thing because, John, I think what the MLR is lacking from the viewership standpoint is that brand recognition. Guys like you and I, who follow the league, we know who the Houston SaberCats are and whatnot. But when you see a collegiate bracket set up, you know, the average American sports fan already has all the colleges kind of baked into their head, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's much more marketable on a large scale. And, you know, could it be bigger than MLR one day? Probably. There's more college teams, right?
I think it's very accessible, right? Even if you're completely new to rugby, the fact that there's a game every 14 minutes or so, right, like phenomenal. Right, pack that in, bunch of different teams, bunch of different playing styles, bunch of different players and personalities you can get behind. And then the fact that you can follow your team, even if, say, they drop the first game, you know, do or die, you know, there's another bracket for them to try and run through and get some type of hardware, right? So, like, all of that stuff, it makes sense, and it's completely accessible for someone who's entirely new to the sport. But, man, I gotta ask you. Like, you're the PR sevens. You've got your hand on the sevens scene here. I mean, of the players that were playing, at least in the Premier Cup, how many are we gonna see PR sevens? How many might we see on the men's Eagle Seven squad?
Okay, well, it's a good question you asked.
Should we go there?
I think Aaron Juma is definitely like ready for PR sevens now. Again, like he looks like a grown man out there. But he's running against college kids. Would he be more humbled in a PR7's environment? Probably. But do I think he's good enough right now? I would say he's the most pro-ready in the tournament. But let's not skip over Babson here, because Babson is a small college. Last year, they competed in the small college bracket. Even in 15s, they won the small college national championship. This year, they jumped all the way up to the premier bracket. And I think that's because of one man. His name is Bryce Muller. He's 6'6", 230, Fairfield Prep grad. I just had to throw that in there.
Okay.
My alma mater. And
it's in the water up there.
He played in the U18, I think. Yeah. This is a guy that's going to, I think, eventually be an Eagle. He's probably going to be in the U20 mix this upcoming summer. I mean, the guy can do it all. I'm not just fanning him because, you know, he's an alum of my high school. I really do think you're going to see Bryce Muller and Babson at every elite level NCR tournament for the next 3 years. So Babson jumped all the way up, and then they kind of backed it up in the premier, getting all the way to the quarterfinals. So, yeah, could Bryce Muller be that guy in the future? I would say so. Right now, though, he's only 19. But, John, can you imagine if you were 6'6", 230?
No. BT, I'm maybe 5'9 on a good day.
Yeah.
I watched him. I wasn't familiar with him until I started this year's tournament watching him. I was super impressed. Right, yeah, he's got all the physical tools. He's got, you know, good ball skills. What can he not do? But I was just impressed just with, like, his temperament on the field. Like, he never seemed like he was shook by anything. He never seemed to panic. He always just seemed to know, like, the right thing to do with the ball.
Yeah.
And he's only a freshman.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, when they needed him to run and get meters, he got it. He would also just become, like, the primary playmaker and start passing and putting guys through. Babson was very impressive. Who else was impressive, you ask?
Let me go back to Bryce Muller for a second. So, like, or Muller, let me go. He's at 240. Do you think, you know, to make that next jump up, does he need to shed a couple more pounds to get a little more elusive, or do you think he needs to add a couple?
I think if you're in college, as long as you're hitting your fitness marks, I say pack the muscle on. You know, and then he's got to make a decision. Am I a sevens player or a 15s player? And you kind of shape your body according to kind of the code. Hey, man, it's like if you can carry the weight, as long as you're still beating guys in the open field, I don't think coach really matters. But any higher than 230, 240 tends to work against guys in the sevens realm. But, John, the Iowa Central Tritons.
Yes.
They were wearing shirts that were dubbed the United States of Iowa Central for the weekend. And let me tell you, Coach Brent Nelson and Joe Lippert, they've built a Midwest monster in Fort Dodge. I mean, this is a small trade tech school, two-year college, and yet they had that varsity rugby program. That team was almost, I would say, 75% or higher American. I was very, very impressed that they were able to punch and compete with all these schools that are stacked with internationals, and yet, you know, you just got some good corn-fed boys that know how to play rugby out in Fort Dodge.
And that's another question. You know, we talked about Wheeling. It's like, how are these programs like a Wheeling, like an Iowa Central Community College? I guess it starts with the coaching, but like, how are they able to do that? How are they able to get the coaches that like understand, hey, this is a program I want to build. These are the type of kids I want to recruit. Right? Everyone has that goal in mind, but then actually execute on that and build a program where you're competing against, quote unquote, I'm doing air quotes here, giants here. But like, I can't imagine it's the easiest thing to recruit rugby players to Iowa Central Community College. And I'm not trying to knock them at all, but like, I think they probably understand they have more difficulties, lack of resources, say, than other programs. So how are they doing it?
Well, not only how do they do it, it's how consistently they do it. Because at a two-year school, you're graduating guys quick. And I think, you know, when I talk with the coaches years ago when I met them, you know, it essentially comes down to if you want to play 4 years of rugby, you can take your Iowa Central experience and transfer kind of into any school, right? But you have that two-year degree. Or you can just join the workforce in 2 years, right? If you know exactly what trade you're going to do. But the fact that they have to recruit, right, like 15 to 20 guys fresh every year because they're graduating so many people so consistently. So I'm just very impressed with Iowa Central, and the entire Big Rivers Conference is really getting good. The one team that kind of unfortunately lost their first round game but then caught fire was Principia. They got some guys who made up that Midwest All-Star team. But John, on the whole, just do you think that the level is being raised every year? Or if we watch like a 2010 CRCs, we would see similar level rugby being played. What's your thought on like the whole progression?
Yeah, it's a really interesting question. And it reminds me of like the, you know, the comparing the LeBron James to the Michael Jordan to like the Kobe Bryant, right? Different eras, different style of play. But I think, I mean, I don't think I'm too far off base here to suggest that across a whole, the level of competition is getting better for a variety of reasons. One, you've got more players. Participation is up. Two, you've got more high-level programs. Like programs are actually more programs that are putting more resources, money into like real legit programs where the kids are kids. Where they're training, you know, 5 days a week. You know, it's varsity level type of rugby. It's, you know, it's one thing to have the players. It's the other thing is to make sure and all of this is, right, the coaching, right? So the men and women who can actually guide and train these players, a lot of them probably never pick up a rugby ball until they got to college, right? Maybe there's been a few who played in high school, or you've got the international players who come over who practically came out of womb and, you know, they're doing, you know, drop goals already. Before they can even walk. But I think it's the coaching that's coming in. I also think it's crazy, but it's like the officials too. You know what I mean? Like you got to have all of that has to be strong. All of that has to be improved. I think we're seeing more officials. I think we're seeing better coaching. I think we're seeing more athletic players. I think nutrition has gotten better. You know, everything that is involved with running a high-level program, I think, is just increasing. I'm not trying to knock what's happened in the past, but I think it's just that it's a good foundation of progression for how far rugby has come and still, you know, how far it needs to go. But darn if it isn't exciting.
I mean, you're right.
Right here will tell you. Like, you were on your couch all Friday watching that, right? Like, people who said that 2-3 weeks ago when they were watching March Madness, you know? So, like, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I think, like you said, there's more coaches now kind of entering their heyday who they themselves played rugby. Instead of just kind of like picking it up because your son, you know, played. Everybody knows that coach who just kind of got grandfathered in and doesn't really know how to play the game, but he's involved. But I think on the whole now, if you have a varsity program, the coach has to sure as hell know what they're doing, and they have to know how to recruit, and they have to know how to, like, you know, bend the knee to the school, so to speak, right? And give the school what they want, which at the end of the day is enrollment, right? Enrollment leads to money coming into the school. So when the schools can kind of boast and brag about their successful rugby team, that ideally helps get more students there. I don't really know if that's how colleges work, but it seems like that's kind of the progression.
Well, BT, I wanted to ask you because, you know, I was following the story of Notre Dame College, right? The school, unfortunately, is closing doors, right? I think this semester is the last semester of classes, and then all the students who are at that school are going to have to find somewhere else to go, including the men's and women's rugby players at Notre Dame College, who I believe are now maybe being scooped up by Walsh University, which is, I guess, down the road from Notre Dame College. On the men's side, I was following just to see, you know, hey, maybe they could have a little, like, hey, last hurrah, Cinderella story type of, and they were a 2-seed, you know, out in the Midwest, and they took it to Bama in the first, Alabama in the first one, and then came up short against Mary Washington. Maybe Mary Washington had a little home field advantage there. But it's funny, we talk about more programs coming online, but then the reality is there are programs like a Notre Dame College where, because of some financials with the university, a dominant program, rugby program in men and women, is now gone.
Yeah, so it's kind of like you need the front office as well. You can't just be good at rugby. Your school has to be, like, solvent, so to speak.
Yes.
Yeah. No, they ran into a steamroller in Mount St. Mary's this year. Or was it Mary Washington?
Yeah.
I get tripped up sometimes with all the Marys in the D.C. area. But
I played rugby in the D.C. area in college, and we played – both teams. We played Mount St. Mary's before Mount St. Mary's got really good.
Yeah.
So that'll tell you. I went to a now small college school, American Go Eagles. Actually, I played in my alumni game last Saturday, and I'm still feeling it.
Yeah, so. That's good. Staying connected to the game is key. And when people say they're retired, they're always kind of semi-retired. But John, in D1, and I think, you know, to the average rugby fan, it's like, well, how do you decide all these divisions? Premier is going to be mostly varsity teams or a club team that, you know, wants to be at the highest level. The D1 is kind of, to me, like large schools, but are still at a club level. It was Louisville, of all teams, another red team in the Midwest area with a cardinal as their logo. Seeing a theme here?
I think so.
Yes.
Go Cardinals. Go Hearts.
In D2, there was a heartbreaking loss. Georgetown lost to Maine at the buzzer. My brother went to Georgetown. He said Coach Arno's really building a program there. And man, they were so close in front of what you could argue was a home Georgetown crowd. But that Maine team was scrappy all weekend, and they deserved winning. And in the small college division, believe it or not, a school called Slippery Rock wins the small college. Oh, my God. You know, to the non-American fan, Slippery Rock. Like, how did they land on that as a school name? But either way, I love it. You know, they wear green and black and had some checkered uniforms all weekend, but the small college is great because you can definitely see, like, the skill level is a little lower But when there is like a stud player in the small college, it stands out. Slipper Rock had some studs on the weekend. But I love the tournament because at any point, you know, you got four or five games going on. But at the same time, like the access for small schools to go and get a run against similar small schools, I think it's really good for growth.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the small college in particular, and just, we're talking men's here, right? Like the team that traveled the furthest was probably Denver University in your backyard. I mean, everyone else was pretty much, you know, Minnesota, that's a hike, but you know,
there were some Oregon teams.
Yeah. Washington, Oregon University, but you know, you've got Connecticut, you've got Pennsylvania, Virginia, Ohio, obviously the local teams in Maryland there, Loyola, the Howard University in DC, so you know, Christendom in college. They're a good little squad out in front Royal. But a lot of those small college, right, with the resources, I mean, you're hopping on the bus and you're driving, what, 8-10 hours, right? Packing a bunch of dudes into an Airbnb or a hotel or something, or maybe you got, you know, a friend of a family who's got a place where everyone can crash. But hey, let's go rock up and play some rugby for, you know, a couple of games here. I mean, that's kind of how it goes in small college. I mean, that's maybe like the ethos of, you know, everyone's, you know, the classic rugby experience if you're not playing at those higher levels. But, yeah, small college, the skill level might not be there, but the heart and the determination, that is still right up there with everyone else that's competing.
Yeah, if you haven't stayed at a Fleabag motel and potentially gotten bed bugs, you know, then you haven't played club college rugby. But John, you know, this kind of wraps up an awesome season for NCR, and we'd probably need a whole another podcast to explain the beef between NCR and USA Rugby. But, you know, there is going to be another kind of sevens tournament for the non-NCR teams, the CRAA teams, the Lindenwoods, the Lifes. That's not going to be till the first weekend of June. So the rugby calendar is a bit crazy. I think CRCs and NCR have really cracked the code on this weekend, that final weekend in April, because you know there's no graduation yet. Yeah, it's pushing up on exams, but all the teams get to travel. The fans get to travel. It's a great tournament. I don't know what else to say. You know, there's the occasional whinger on the USA Rugby Reddit that just says like, oh, CRA is so much better and this is watering down what it means to be a national champion. I completely disagree. The more exposure and the more teams getting to play high-level events, the better.
Yeah, you tell the kids at Wheeling that their national championship is watered down.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, would Lindenwood go in and whoop up on Wheeling? Maybe. Maybe not, though. So, you know, it's...
Love to see it.
Yeah, we need to have both champions face off. John, you know, for those that are listening, they probably have listened to your previous showing on Rugby Pick'em where we ran through last year's PR7 season. But for those that don't know, John puts out an amazing newsletter. It's called Rugby Morning. It's going to tell you everything you need to know that's going on, not just that day, but upcoming. Basically, it's the all eyes and ears, Sauron's eye of the American rugby landscape, all in one email. And you should definitely subscribe. Go to rugbymorning.com and get in on the action because, man, you really know how to indent and just kind of make everything perfect before you hit publish.
You know, excuse a typo here and there, but, you know, I wasn't an English major, but it's all good.
It's a newsletter. Yeah.
I'm a rugby player. I mean, come on. I've been in the head a few times. Give me a break.
But, John, what are you excited in the upcoming calendar for May?
Oh, man, dude, like, where do you begin? Like, let's start with, you know, Pac-4 series, USA Women's Eagles taking on Canada at home for the first time in, like, 3 years. And you're starting into the thick of Major League Rugby. And that's exciting stuff. You've got men's Eagles action. You've got the Olympics. You know, I think the women's seven, I think they are legit contenders. I think the men's sevens, the USA men's sevens, they've been playing better. I think they, you know, they've got a shot here, but it's like you can't catch your breath because it seems like every weekend there's just fun rugby to watch from here through. Goodness, October?
Yeah, we're spoiled. It'll cool down a bit in the summer, but then you get Southern Hemisphere test matches going.
Yeah.
So, you know, the rugby fan is spoiled, but the collegiate rugby fan was spoiled this weekend watching CRCs Big shout out to Pat Clifton, the organizers, John Broker on the call all weekend. You had Wheelsy on the call, Darian Lovelace. Just some great, great voices to kind of put me to sleep.
I thought everyone did great.
Oh, yeah. I passed out a couple times, you know, Friday on the couch, and then today it was cold and rainy. So, you know, in and out of naps, watching rugby, I was in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, John Fitzpatrick, thank you so much. And if you're ever in the D.C. area, you want to catch an Old Glory game, you want to watch American play, maybe you want to make an NIL donation to John's American squad, hit him up. He is Mr. Rugby Morning. John, thank you.
Appreciate it. Hey, ABT, if you're going to be in town in D.C., you got to hit me up. I'm trying to loosely organize some type of pregame drink up before USA takes on Scotland here in D.C. in July.
I'm definitely thinking about it. It's on my maybe calendar.
Card to pay for everything, but I think it'll be good.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, BT.
See ya. In the premiere, it was Wheeling. Rugby Morning's own son, father, founder. It's John Fitzpatrick.
Well, and that's you know what's so wild about all of this is that
Chris Cleland is only 5'7", 155. And yet the shiftiness.
This man, one cut, one missed tackle, and the kid's going to the house. Build a program. Friday was cooler, not rainy, but like comfortable, good for running rugby. A little bit of wetness today.
See little Johnny go off and play. Who else was impressive, you ask?
Let me go back to Bryce Miller for a second.
It was Louisville, of all teams. Rugby Morning. It's the all eyes and ears, Sauron's eye. Play. Maybe you want to make an NIL donation to John's American squad. Hit him up. It's Mr. Rugby Morning.
Know your role.